Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by CornNation.com. A legacy member of the Jittery Monkey podcast family with merchandise available at JitteryMonkey.com. And of course, proud member of the SB Nation Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and truly and honestly tickled to death to be joined by the two legs of the tripod. To my right, Hoss Reuter. To my left, John Dam Johnston. Gentlemen, and Hoss, we'll start with you because I know there's always an awkward pause and then you both start talking at the same time. How are we doing? Hoss?
I'm doing good, minus this heat, you know, extreme heat here in Nebraska. The hour draws ever nearer to August 31st.
We're getting there. And Big Ten Media Days this week has been a very
the biggest welcome tease of the college football season.
Exactly. John, how are you, sir?
Oh, my God, the same with me. It's as if football could be in sight. I'm not worried about August 31st, though. For me, it's the when fall practice starts, that at least we start getting news. You know what I mean? Other than guys doing something with marijuana, we start getting news that it's like stuff people are, I don't know, practicing and doing.
We got news today about how many linemen was it? Like, five or six linemen squatting over 800 pounds for a couple of reps each.
Is that good?
Oh, that's very good. I mean, you got to think, if they're doing two reps at 800 pounds, their one rep max is probably in the neighborhood of 900 pounds.
And if these are guys, just so we're clear, as a practical joke, they could pick up, like, I don't know, a Volkswagen and throw it in the – is there –
I remember hearing a story about Brendan Stye back in 94 would get done doing heavy squats in the old North Stadium weight room, walk out to his car, and it was like this shitty old Toyota pickup truck. You know, I'm sure you guys know the kind of truck, and when I say shitty, it's just most of them look that way, you know, not singling out Brendan Stye's truck. And he walked to the side of it and picked it up two wheels off the ground and sat it back down a couple of times.
Well, speaking of...
To impress the ladies.
Hey, by hook or crook, get it done.
But speaking of just functional weight, did you all see the quick little video of the 2020 recruit, the polar bear?
German suplexing a Texas heavyweight state champion wrestler?
Yes. And my goodness, that just made me so happy. Imagine
what he's going to do to Big Ten centers.
Yeah, I mean, you're not.
I think suplexing is illegal.
Well, functional strength.
My favorite suplex in all of football happened, at least a dozen years ago, when James Harrison picked up, and this was in Cincinnati. Picked up Chad Chad Johnson. I don't think he was Ocho Cinco at the time, and just belly to back suplex for the tackle. This was before, you know, the NFL took the fun away. But my goodness, it's just unbelievable how strong. That's a heavyweight. That's not only that, but that's a Texas heavyweight champion, and he just picked him up, and there was the video, the 8 or 9 second video of the suplex, and a tweet below that had pictures, and this kid is in midair, and he's got the look of like, just dumbed down acceptance. Pain. He's like, well, this is happening. I just hope I don't die. And then you look at the
Go ahead.
As I say, you look at the end of the video and how he landed, and you're like, oh, how did he not die?
You know what my least favorite suplex in all of football was? when Chris Borland suplexed Taylor Martinez in the Big Ten championship game, belly to back suplexed him, and not a damn one of our other offensive players got in his face for it. They sat there and took it.
Yeah, you shouldn't get away with
that. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. That is bad.
Then a month later in the Capital One Bowl, Taylor Martinez gets his clock cleaned by either Alec Ogletree or Bakari Rambo, and nobody does anything. You know, no one has Taylor's back. That shit right there pisses me off.
Wait, was that?
They send one of yours to the hospital, you send six of theirs to the morgue.
You know, that is true. That is true. People don't understand that, but as an offensive lineman, if your quarterback gets cheap shotted and done shit to him, on the next play, you go take that guy's knees right out of his body.
So let me.
Which is precisely
I know that
why.
People,
which
I know is precisely. People get like upset, like don't say that kind of shit. But if
football.
There's an understanding when you're playing football that you don't cheap shot people, you don't injure them on purpose. And if that happens to your quarterback, your offensive lineman's responsibility is to murder the fucker that did that.
Which is so precisely I know why that, I want to see Bo Wilson pull on a little G lead play and find Jacob Collier out there on the edge and just pancake him into about the 17th row of Folsom Field.
Oh, who's that guy?
That was
who
I think
this man you're talking about?
That's the knee twister from Adrian Martinez from last year.
Perhaps he did something wrong.
It was a dirty ass play.
It was a horrible cheap shot shit crap.
So let me ask you.
It's these moments you wish you had Andy Janovich still on the roster. Or hell, maybe we'll put in Damian Jackson as a H-back just for one play.
I do have a question going back to what you said about that that Big Ten championship and what happened, you know, to Taylor Martinez. Was it something about maybe trepidation or, I mean, certainly at the time you have a head coach in Bo Pelini who's aggressive and, you know, not afraid to show emotion. Why do you think that at that moment those players, that offensive line chose to, like, not, I don't know if retreat is the right word, but they didn't stand up and fight for their QB. Was it the QB? Was it the culture? And not by, I don't mean like the Nebraska culture, but the way that, you know, the retaliatory, you know, like it's never the first hit that they see. It's always the second one. Maybe the fear of being, you know, sitting, you know, hurting the team in some way.
You take the 15-yard penalty in that instance. I mean, come on. I mean, unless
I don't know. You're asking us to speculate.
Against Wisconsin, when that happened, we were already down 40. So guys had kind of tucked their tail in between their legs. And then I just think Taylor Martinez wasn't very well liked.
And that's a shame. Well,
Kenny Bell obviously didn't give up in that game.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that play. If I could go the rest of my life without seeing that on a highlight reel, I'd be fine. It came in a game that we were down by 40.
Okay. We were supposed to – we had actually an agenda.
Oh, yes. First order of business.
We were going to talk about Big Ten media days, weren't we?
We
Greg,
were. Yes, sir.
Did you write this down?
I didn't necessarily write anything down, but I definitely sent you guys notes. So in a way, I guess I did write things down.
Well, Big Ten, the first day of the first period of Big Ten media days today. What did you guys get anything out of it? Did you watch? Did you pay attention?
I listened to it on the radio when I was at work.
I was in the truck and working, and I was unable to. I was seeing basically what was shared in the Slack chat room, and then when I saw a few things that I, you know, piqued my interest, I shot over to Twitter and voiced a few things from the official Five Heart Podcast Twitter handle, which you should follow because we don't have many followers. We know you're out there, but is the number five, then Heart Podcast. Five is the only thing that's not spelled out. It's the number five, and then Heart Podcast is all spelled out all together. No spaces, no underscores, no hyphens or anything like that. One of the things, look, a lot of it was your standard coach speech, was it not?
Yes, it was.
We've been in the weight room and we're a little bigger, we're a little faster, we're a little blah, blah, blah. However, then you got this one guy up north, and oh my goodness.
By the way, I just want to mention about PJ Fleck real quick. Did you guys see that BTN Instagram thing where PJ Fleck said that a hot dog was a sandwich?
No.
That pisses me off. It's not a sandwich.
Oh, my God. Why does this make people so angry?
Because it's semantically it's a sandwich, but it's not a sandwich.
Okay, listen. People shouldn't be eating fucking
two of the coaches.
The hot dogs is not a food in the first place.
Yes, it is.
The two coaches.
No, it isn't.
The two coaches who said it wasn't a sandwich were none other than Scott Frost and Jeff Brom.
And we know you. Is this on Instagram?
Yeah, it's on Insta. Don't you have like an Instagram account? You know,
I do, but I don't look at it because I don't.
You're a photographer. You should have like 10,000 pictures on there.
Okay, fine. I'm old, and you know what? The problem with Instagram, and it's all on
where
your
you
phone,
start following
and then it's little tiny things, and you got to use your thumbs.
You have two of them.
I'm old. I'm just falling back on old. I'm old man.
Old man yells at cloud.
Yes, exactly. I wish somebody – we have a gob of followers on our Instagram account, but I shouldn't be running it. You know why? Because there's not enough screeching on there. I'm kind of a jerk. We should have a – whatever. Anyway, PJ Fleck. I love PJ Fleck. I want to say that. Right. Yes, I do.
So the Reddit college football or Reddit CFB quoted Fleck as saying on Twitter – by the way – I'm getting much of this from our day one recap at coronation.com. However, some of them, again, ended up in the Slack room, and those were the ones I had to take a few issues with on Twitter. But Fleck says about his young team last year, quote, "I think they failed enough to be successful," quote, "in the last half of the season." I don't know what that means. And I'll tell you, I understand this next one even less when Fleck says that Minnesota is a life program, not a football program. So PJ Fleck is a life coach.
Sounds like he's an Amway salesman.
He's a life coach, not a football coach.
Oh, come on, you guys.
No.
Number one.
Everything about that program is about him. It's not about the players. It's all about him. He always says, I and me. And, you know, his running from one end of the field down to the other at the start of a new quarter, like, the row the boat crap, putting oars on the helmets, putting row the boat on the back of the jerseys or whatever it was. It's all about him. And that's why I get irritated with the guy. He's a good football coach, but it's all about him.
So basically what you're saying is you don't like his personality.
No, I don't. And
the most Nebraskans don't.
College
most
coaching,
Nebraskans
a lot of
don't.
Guys like personality.
Huh. I want to say I love PJ Fleck. You know why?
Because he wears his heart on his sleeve, man.
No, it's because look at Big Ten Media Days. I mean, literally, if PJ Fleck wasn't there, what would you report about other than Scott Frost and he's ours? Seriously, I mean, Mark D'Antonio is going to stand up and be angry.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. I don't dislike PJ Fleck, for that very reason, he's giving us something to talk about.
This is an anti-PJ Fleck podcast.
Yeah.
It is?
Yes.
Well, I'm a contrarian, so I'm taking it aside.
We established this back in 2017 after Greg and I had our saddest five-part podcast ever after Minnesota scored half a hundred on us.
Well, remember, I have a shitty memory, so I forgot that game.
You weren't in on that podcast. You didn't join for like another 10 months.
Yeah, but you know where I was in that game?
You were in the stadium shooting the game.
I was on the field shooting the game, you shit ass.
Yeah, I was drinking
tea. It was terrifying.
It was terrifying
on the field. It was horrible.
That was our first foray into recording right after or night of the game. We'd never done it before. And because of that, Haas is like, we shouldn't do this anymore.
it John, if you ever go back and listen to it, it was so fucking sad. We sounded like our dogs just got hit by a car.
Well, it should have been sad because that was the end of Mike Riley. And I, in a way that, you know, it was a way to say this is the end of this era and go on to the next one. But, yeah, I mean, I was on the field for that game. And I stood next to athletic department employees that I know, and I literally turned to one of them, and he was trying to dig a grave into the ground. I don't know what he was doing. He had his head down. I would swear to God, if you gave him a shovel like the Army uses, he would have tried to dig a foxhole. It was terrible. It was horrifying. But listen, I like P.J. Fleck. I like his energy. I like the fact that he's the anti-Scott Frost. And I like the fact that he's not my coach, mostly.
Okay.
Because if he was my fucking coach, I'd be like, oh, God, what? I don't know. I'd be a coke addict or something. But I'd like the fact that he's in the conference. He gives us all something to complain about. I think his quotes are great because they're so goofy, because there's not another – there's really not – there. I mean, what are you going to – Big Ten Media Days, who's the goofy doofus guy? I mean, listen, here's what Big Ten Media Days is. Big Ten Media Days is where we stand up and we say things like everybody got stronger and faster this year and nobody wants to take a day off and all of us, they have great motors. I mean, these are the things we say, right? You can't, you really go out to Media Days and you say the things that your fans want to hear. Okay.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Part of me wonders why we even still have Media Days.
Well, here's the
media and technology that we're in.
Here's the thing about Media Days. Can you do well at Media Days? Yeah, you can. Can you really screw up? Yes.
Very much so.
Who was it? Who was the Illinois coach that got fired for basically abuse?
Tim Beckman.
That guy should never been ever stood up in front of anybody. You remember him at Media Days? That's how you screw up Media Days. Okay, you look like a frog that's been hit by headlights while trying to coach football. I don't know. You know what I mean? He was terrible. He should have never been a head coach. But that's what Media Days is about. It's about, you know, and let's face it, Media Days is not for the fans. What Media Days is for is for the media to all get together and network with the coaches and all gather in one place so they can save their money. There you go. I'll shut up for
a few. Drink on the company dime.
Yeah, exactly. I hope.
In the greatest city in the world.
There's no company dime for most of these people anymore, so...
Yeah, newspapers, print media is a dying business.
It is, yeah.
The future.
Okay, you guys can. I'll shut up. You guys interject.
No, I was.
Greg, what do you got?
I was just wanted to talk about PJ Fleck just for that very reason. We're being interrupted. A little peek behind the curtain. Little guy hasn't gone to bed yet. So. And that's all right, because he doesn't have to get up. I don't have to get up in the morning. No, but I like PJ Fleck's appearance just because he's – I'm talking. Can you go watch cartoons? Okay, I'm trying to talk. Go watch cartoons. You're interrupting my train of thought. Do you want to say hi?
Man, he's giving you the business, Greg.
You want to say hi? No? Do you want to say go Big Red? Hey, that was almost a Go Big Red. All right, go watch cartoons.
Close.
Go watch cartoons. We'll get him trained up.
Sounds cute. He sounds much cuter than you.
He's much cuter than I deserve. I'll tell you that much. Now he's gonna climb in my lap. But I like PJ Fleck just because he gave us something to talk about. He allowed me to his inane bull. Now I gotta censor myself because of the kid. You guys don't. I'm wearing headphones. But the stupid crap that he was saying, again, it gave me the opportunity to point out some of the stupidity. Like, you can't just say, we're not a football program, we're a life program. And I made the comment on Twitter. I said, well, that's not going to end well for Minnesota, for the fans, for the program, because there's only one way out of life, and only one person's undefeated. So,
oh, wow. You were too, that's too deep.
I know. Thank you. So that's all. I mean, I didn't have a ton on Big Ten Media Days or PJ Fleck. I just had to point out that his thanks. His insane.
Did he bring you a beer?
No, I wish. He's not that
turned
up yet.
What the hell? How old is that kid?
3 and a half.
You know, is he pooping?
I'll tell you what, he earned a poop toy tonight.
All right, good for him.
And I got to clean it up. It's great. Real.
Well, that's how it goes. You know what? I have my three children living at home.
And so. None of them are potty trained.
Well, they're...
They're all feral.
They are feral. Okay, so what else? Big Ten Media Days.
Lovie Smith,
there's a team that will come out of nowhere. We plan on that being us, Illinois.
They're replacing a quarterback with a myriad of transfers. They lost their best defender in Roundtree. They still have Reggie Corbin. Their defense was a sieve. I just don't see it.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, and like, I have a high degree of respect for Lovie Smith, and I think Illinois could be a sleeping giant in college football. Not under Lovie Smith, though, you know, under the right coach and right leadership. But, I mean, what's he heading into? Is this his fourth year?
It is his fourth year.
And they said on Sharp and Benning this morning, when they were talking to the Illinois guys, 9 wins in 4 years.
Yeah.
Try that one on for size. I mean, like, they're, you know, with A.J. Bush at quarterback, they were explosive as hell last year. And I liked the scheme that they were running. But, I mean, it's not like Dwayne Smoot and Carroll Phillips are playing DN for Lovie Smith anymore. And Hardy Nickerson Jr. is gone. So, I don't know. I think they could maybe get to a bowl, you know, cobble together 6 wins and a few things to break right. But I don't exactly see them, you know, surging out of the gate to challenge for the West.
They're not going to charge out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, they might charge out of Champaign straight into the Illinois or Kankakee River.
Okay, Ryan Day, did you see him?
No, what did he have to say?
He's pretty much the Big Ten's robot coach.
Thank you for coming.
No, I mean he talked about his players and, you know.
Did he talk about the wake of destruction that Urban Meyer left behind?
Oh God, no! What do you?
Did you hear what Jim Harbaugh said in a radio interview?
Yeah, apparently he left controversy behind him. I mean, is that really? That's kind of like a statement.
I mean, He's not saying anything that's incorrect.
Right.
It's just pretty ballsy and brazen for a sitting head coach to say that about, you know, somebody who is probably going to be back in the game in the next couple of years at USC. But Urban Meyer has a winning record, a really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been. That's taking kinda a like, shot across the
bow. It is, but it's also
Nothing that we don't know.
Right. It's like Google Holtz.
Yeah. Or Jackie Sherrill.
Yeah.
You know, except Urban Meyer had, you know, yeah. So,
I have to pause for a minute.
Station identification?
Yeah, you guys carry on.
All right, Greg, what do you got?
I think I got it.
Are you negotiating with a terrorist?
I think we're going to take a time out and put a little fella to bed. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about Minnesota because they're crazy. Here's the thing. We're not talking about PJ Fleck this time. We're just going to talk about Minnesota and our friends at the Minnesota SB Nation site. And, of course, we're going to preview Colorado. It's all coming up. When we come back.
Mel Tucker.
Old Mel Tucker. That's coming up next on the Five Heart Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast, SB Nation Podcast Network. Greg Mahochko here, along with Hoss Reuter and John Dam Johnston, and fisticuffs about to fly in the break here, and we're going to get right into this hotbed issue that we are on opposite sides on. Actually, it's a two-on-one affair. It's a handicap match, if you will. Our friends, quote-unquote, at the Daily Gopher wanted to, I think the phrase the kids are using today is throw some shade, and did so on Twitter. If you are familiar with memes, I don't know names of memes, but this is a SpongeBob SquarePants meme, and it's SpongeBob looking more stupid than usual. I don't know how that idiotic character's been around for 20 years. That's old man Greg talking.
I love SpongeBob.
I rest my case. And folks, you will agree with me when we get into this. But over on the Daily Gopher posted published an article that says Big Ten media preseason poll confirms the Nebraska sickness is everywhere. And they use that sometimes capitalized lettering that's part of that SpongeBob idiotic meme. It says like Nebraska is going to win the Big Ten West or whatever. And however they phrased it, I ain't got time for any of that stupid shit. But they are apparently very here. I'm going to use another young person's word, butthurt, by the fact that the Huskers, who started 0-6 last year before finishing, you know, the latter half of the season 4-2, including putting up a 50 burger on their beloved Golden Gophers, are the preseason favorite to win the Big Ten West, represent the West Division in Indianapolis in early December at the Big Ten Championship game. To that end, now again, the media members in the poll had Nebraska with 14 first place votes and 198 points, Iowa with 194.5 points, Wisconsin third, Northwestern fourth, Purdue, Minnesota, and Illinois rounding out the bedtime didn't work well. Rounding out the Big Ten West, and again, this is from Cleveland.com, so take that with a grain of salt as well.
No. Cleveland.com, what happened was 9 years ago, the Big Ten decided to get rid of its official polling. So the Cleveland Plain Dealer took over that poll.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
That's the only thing probably keeping that newspaper alive. So,
and it's from...
Don't beat up on them for that.
Now, hold on, because it's from Cleveland, so it's only a matter of time until it fails miserably, too.
Wow.
Sorry.
There went all our listeners in Cleveland.
That's okay. But anyway, Minnesota, not to pour on. We're going to get to Colorado, folks. Don't worry. We promised you that last week. But Minnesota, we've got to hit them with it first with their oar-grabbing circle jerk ways. And what is this undue saltiness? And Haas, I'm going to throw it to you first because you are a voice of reason. You are the lighthouse in this tempest of preseason summer doldrum. Talk me through it. Why do they hate us so?
What? Well, probably has a little bit to do with 53 points and 600 and some odd yards back on October 20th. And they probably feel like, oh, hey, Nebraska went 4-8 2 years in a row. Oh, hey, we hung 54 on them in 2017. We beat Purdue and Wisconsin and Georgia Tech in a bowl game. Why is Nebraska getting all this hype? Well, Minnesota also got half a hundred hung up on them by Illinois. You know, they're salty towards us because basically off of the fact that we are 0-6 at one point last year, finished 4-8 2 years in a row, and they're coming off of a nice end to last year. But the reality of it is, even though we've gone 4-8 the past few years, we've never lost blue blood status. You know, we're still in that rarefied country club air of college football. They're Minnesota. They're a hockey school with an Amway salesman of a head coach.
It seems to me like it's a classic scenario of they hate us because they ain't us.
Well, I mean, there's probably like some ingrained hatred, too, stemming from the scoring explosion, scoring 84 points on them back in 1983. But, you know, they're not really showing that Minnesota nice, you know, that I always hear about, even though I've never set foot in the state of Minnesota.
I've got to go. We've got to bring in our resident Minnesota expert, John Dam Johnston, who's an expert because he's a resident. You've got to talk me through this because you made...
John, how many Row the Boat shirts do you own?
I mean, you laugh.
I do have one. I bought one. I did. Admit it.
I can't believe this.
I bought a row the boat shirt because later on, if you're going to burn something, you have to have it first. Anyway, here's the thing.
The moat.
It's to me, I think it's neat to see Minnesota fans kind of having some bravado about their football program. Why not? I mean, listen, last year Nebraska went 0-6, okay? We went 0-6, and our final record was 4-8. It was 4-8 for 2 years in a row. Suddenly we're like, what? We're all like, yeah, we're the best ever? Where does that come from? You know, I realize that Scott Frost...
Because there's real tangible hope by the end of last year.
Okay, well, there was real tangible growth for Minnesota, too. After the Illinois
game... Yeah, there was,
game,
but they still got half a hundred hung up on them.
Yeah, after that, they fired their defensive coordinator, and after that, they had the same season we did.
Yeah, and Scott Frost is still going to coach circles around P.J. Fleck on October 12th.
You only say that because you hate P.J. Fleck and his attitude, and he says, I want you to be...
You know what?
It's
just a matter of time until that program, that life program, comes unraveling like the bricks at the bottom of the pyramid scheme of what he's selling.
That's a good line. That's a very good line. Let me tell you this, okay? Let's compare these programs. Let's compare these teams going into 2019, okay?
Okay,
which
you want to go position
by
position?
Team has two experienced quarterbacks? Minnesota. Well, which team has two 1,000-yard rushers? Minnesota, okay? Which team has one of the best returning receivers in the Big Ten?
Minnesota, Tyler Johnson. But yeah. Who has the best quarterback in the Big Ten?
Our season is entirely dependent on that young man staying healthy.
Who has three good offensive linemen returning for this season? Who has one of the best receivers in the Big Ten in J.D. Spielman? Who has I was going to reference Maurice Washington, but let's let that play out. Who actually has bodies up front on the defensive line? It's not Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota does have that one 400-pound kid. I don't know what.
Yeah, he's a gimmick.
Okay, which team got their defense together at the end of the year?
You can kind of go both ways on that.
Well, okay, so here's the thing.
Overlook about Minnesota beating Purdue 41-10 is that was in the midst One, that game was played in a snowstorm. Number two, that game was in the midst of all the talk about Jeff Brohm going back to Louisville. And when they beat Wisconsin in late November, 37-14, I think it was, that was a wounded Wisconsin team that was sucking wind just trying to get through the year.
The first time they beat them in 14 years.
Which is impressive as hell, because we haven't beat them since.
And they beat the shit out of them.
But I also think that we would have been in a very different ball game with Wisconsin if we would have played them that same time. You know, we closed the gap pretty good against Wisconsin this year. We lost 41-24. We still gave up like 238 to Jonathan Taylor. But we closed the gap from what it was the year before. We closed the gap from what it was, you know, God knows, in like 2012, 2014, you know, those kind of games.
Did Melvin Gordon just score us on us again? If we would have played
Wisconsin in November, I think we win that game.
I don't disagree with that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's saying all this stuff. I don't think you can't take Minnesota out of the conversation for the Big Ten West.
No, you can't. And I've been saying since their bowl game last year that the Big Ten West will come down to Nebraska at Minnesota on October 12th.
You just hate P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, I just hate P.J. Fleck.
He's hateable. You know what?
I didn't have an issue with Minnesota when they had Jerry Kill and Tracy Clays. I hated losing to them, but I didn't have an issue with them.
Okay, but Tracy Clays was a non-person. I literally like what he literally.
It's like they hired the Michelin man.
Yeah, they did. Just,
it's stand what on we, the sideline. And I'm not feeding, not making it, a joke about his weight. He just like had seemed like he had no personality whatsoever.
No, he didn't. He was not. You know what's not happening here in Minnesota, just so you know?
What? It's not 173,000 degrees?
No, it's there aren't billboards all over with P.J. Fleck on them.
There are or aren't?
There are not. When he first arrived, there were billboards all over the place. Okay. And you were like, oh, my God, what the hell?
So do you think so they're all right. Also
you're
sick
right.
Of
him? He does do this thing. It's kind of about me. But on the other hand, if you were going to coach Minnesota, you would kind of need to build the cult of personality for people to come to you and build your own cult and then recruit and then make it about them. I mean, literally Minnesota. I mean, come on. When we're in Nebraska, it's about us. I say we. You know what? I get attacked sometimes for saying we on the website. You know why I say we?
Because we're all in this together.
Yeah. Because I'm an alum. It's my fucking university. It's my place. It's my university. It's my university. It's my place where I grew up. It's my place where I where I became a human being, where I understood, where I became who I was going to be in later life. Really, all the education I got helped me in later life to become who I am, and I think I've been at least reasonably successful, but it's a place that I hold dear. Dear old Nebraska U. I'm going to say we because to me it's we.
By the
way. That's my passionate play for dear old Nebraska U.
Really? From a guy who owns a Row the Boat shirt.
This was brought to my attention a couple days ago via Twitter. At Husker LC tweeted, or I should say retweeted, an official image from at Gopher Football, which is, of course, Minnesota football. It's their 2019 poster alert. And
P.J. Fleck bigger than the rest of everyone on the poster.
That's right. Of course.
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Of
yeah.
course, P.J. is larger than all his players on the poster is what Ash said. It's, you know, I think there's some significant amount of ego at play. And I'm honestly just really glad that he is there and not in Nebraska.
I'm glad he's here and not in Nebraska, too, because we would have to kill him.
Yeah. I don't think
seriously
we would have to. Going 4-8.
No, he would never fit at Nebraska. He wouldn't. He's just a different guy. I mean, he
fits at Minnesota. To be successful at Nebraska, a coach has to have the personality of kind of really, Scott Frost is the best example of it, that understated, quiet swagger.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true about Scott Frost?
Oh, no. He's probably got an ego the size of Texas. He just doesn't show it. But, you know, he just doesn't show that ego in, you know, a public setting.
God, I hope he, if he doesn't have an ego the size of Texas, he's not going to survive us.
Well, Tom Osborne, you know, for his, you know, Nebraskan to the core as he is and, you know, was as a coach and understated and borderline milquetoast, that guy probably had an ego just about bigger than anyone else's. But how he conducted himself, you know,
right,
it shined through. Got to have an ego in this business.
Oh, my God. You have to have an ego to be anything. People think that that's a bad thing. Oh, my God, a guy has an ego. You know what?
Ego and self-respect.
Yeah, if you're going to have any hope of – by the way, we do counseling on the podcast. If you're going to have a guy who is going to be an upper-level management person, he has to have an ego to survive all of you beating the shit out of him. You know what I mean? Tom Osborne lived through many years.
Much is given, much is expected.
Yeah, exactly. You better have an ego that can – it's like a force field that bounces off shit. So somebody throws shit at you, your ego bounces it right off. It's just like, yeah.
I always hate what people have said to me about, you know, various things. Oh, you're letting your ego get in the way of that. It's like, no, like, you know, it can go too far in the other direction. But
yeah.
Having an ego, having a healthy ego, like that'll take you pretty far in life.
Look what it did for Charlie Sheen.
Yeesh.
That's a great example there, Greg.
That's the first name that came to mind.
God.
We need to talk about Mel Tucker.
The hippies?
Yeah.
And the hippies in Boulder that John probably knows quite well.
I don't know. See that. I love,
what's next, John? You're going to tell us that you have a 1990 national champion shirt for the Colorado Buffaloes?
Like I said, if you don't own it, you can't burn it, you shithead. Anything from Colorado.
To that point, and you know, what the joke that was made about the Row the Boat shirt is, look, after they – you saw this a lot, you know, when LeBron left the first time from Cleveland to Miami. You know, there, you know, people were burning his jerseys in you know, garbage cans in their backyard or fire pits or whatever. Look, he doesn't care. He already got his royalties check from when that shirt was, like, nobody cares that you're burning. You're basically just burning your own money. That's why I personally would never have a Row the Boat shirt, but that's because I'm a true Nebraska fan.
Unlike John.
Okay. Weren't we going to talk about Colorado? You.
Yeah. Moving on. Week two of the Nebraska Cornhusker 2019 football season has the game two of the home and home series with the Colorado Buffaloes. We all know what happened last year. It was Nebraska's first game of the season, thanks to Mother Nature stepping in and canceling our appointment with Akron. And so we had to go in cold against Colorado and played very well until, you know, late in the game when we didn't play so well. Of course, Adrian Martinez goes down with an injury. We talked about that. Haas, talk to me. And, of course, we encourage everybody to go to coronation.com back in the end of June. Husker Mike did another fantastic preview of this game, so check that out. If I remember, I will try to link it, make it easy for you. You've probably already read it because you're a diehard, read-everything-you-can Husker fan. But, Haas, the defense showed up really well in that game as far early on, especially as far as getting sacks, getting into the offensive backfield, making plays. Looking back to last year, what was so successful for the Blackshirt defense?
Really, Colorado's offensive line wasn't very good. And we kind of had a game plan designed to stop the run first and foremost. Our issues were in the secondary, trying to cover LaVisca Chenault and all the miscommunications that happened on coverage assignments in the secondary.
I'll take that. I just knowing that Colorado messed it up makes me even more confident coming into this year with a new coach, new way of doing things. Ole Mel Tucker, really first time head coach.
I think he'll have a pretty good game plan, defensive game plan put together for us. They'll probably try to stop the run first and foremost, and we'll probably have to air it out a little bit to start the game. But I think over the course of that game, as it goes on, I don't think they're going to be able to bottle up the offense. I just don't think they have the horses on defense.
John, you're a closet Colorado fan, of course, going all the way back.
Oh, yeah. I loved Eric Bieniemy.
Tell me about that first time that you ran the Buffalo across the field back in the 1930s.
Well, it was large, and then we shot it and ate it.
Make a nice buffalo skin rope.
The hell? Yeah, spring this on me out of nowhere. You're a Buffalo fan. Listen, Mr. Poopy Butt, running this podcast.
Can you be more specific? There are two of us over here, and only one's pooped his pants today.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Greg Guy.
Thank you.
I've never been a fan of black and gold teams, okay?
Yeah, between Iowa and Colorado, it's proof that hell is painted black and gold.
And Missouri. Vanderbilt, and for that matter. Steelers.
Hey, the only black and gold that I represent or support is plays in the Steel City.
It's painted black and gold.
I'm sorry, you threw me off completely calling me a Colorado fan. No.
Sorry, talk to me a little bit, on I don't even know where we were at, because that's really all I had was just a joke about you being a Colorado fan.
Oh, my God.
Are you wearing your Sal is Dead Go Big Red t-shirt on September
7th? No, that's
7th,
rude.
John?
That is really rude. That was
– That is
you know what?
Wrong.
It is.
That's
when
wrong.
That happened years ago. That was rude then, and it's rude now. But here's the thing. I hope that I think all of Nebraska looks at that play from last year where Adrian Martinez got hurt, and we all looked at it and went, that is just not football. That's not – most of Nebraska is well-educated about what good football is, and that was horrifying. It was horrifying to watch him in pain, and it was cheap. And I think all of us share the same thoughts when we say this. I want us to beat Colorado so bad that literally blood comes out their eyeballs. Okay?
60-93.
I want their fans in the stand to have blood. They can't throw shit at our players or our fans because blood is pouring out of their eyeballs. And all of the nation out there on TV will go, what's happening in Boulder? There is blood coming out the eyeballs of Colorado fans. How is this happening? Because we want to create our team, smash them that badly, and create that much pain, the blood comes right out of their eyeballs.
I mean, that's fine.
So, like, are you saying that because I'm going to Boulder? That sounds very apocalyptic. Sounds like something that'd be in the Book of Revelations. And because I'm going to Boulder, and I'm rather pale-skinned, and I'll probably be driving a white SUV, that I'm the pale rider sitting upon a pale horse.
Ooh, I like
yes. Okay, it's fine with me.
All right. And we'll be wearing
pale rider. What? If all of Colorado wants to identify themselves as Colorado Buffaloes that day, then may they just all just bleed out their eyeballs.
I wonder, because
like I'm an angry person or something.
So obviously, I've seen all of Nebraska's opinions on that play and on that moment from last year's game. And you look at the other side, and Colorado's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, that's a clean play. But I wonder on more on the national scene, like, what was the national perspective? And I ask because I never actually did
no one really touched on it.
Exactly, right? I mean, they're like, well, that's a sounds like a regional matter. We're just going to be Switzerland out here.
Oh, come on. That's because, let's be honest, both of our teams are irrelevant. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, okay? We're in Nebraska. We love us. Colorado's completely irrelevant on a national stage. Nebraska's gone 4-8 for 2 years in a row on a national stage. On a national stage, look at what happened at Big Ten Media Days, okay? There were a gob of people that wanted to be around Scott Frost and talk about Scott Frost. And I think maybe that's ego, but I think that the national stage wants Nebraska to be back to decent, not like 4-8. Because they loved Nebraska in a way that they loved. Here's the thing about Nebraska. I'm rambling. Let me collect my thoughts for. Okay, there they are. Here's the thing. Nebraska was wonderful for them in the 1990s because of one thing. Number one, we won a lot, and then we were heroes and glory story to us. But for the national people, they love to beat the shit out of us because we're in the middle of nowhere. So the first time we won a national title, they were like, oh, my God, Tom Osborne, he's a great guy. He's the greatest champion ever. And then after he kept winning, they were like, oh, my God, Tom Osborne's a horrible person and he should never have done this. Right? So, again, that goes back to how media works.
Well, yeah, because in all facets, not just sports, but you know they love to build them up just so they can tear them down.
Yes, exactly. That is how media works, and if people don't understand that, then that's what we're telling. Like I said, we provide counseling here at Coronation, but when you look at Nebraska, Colorado last year in the cheap shot. It wasn't relevant on a national stage. It was relevant to the Midwest. It was relevant to Nebraska. It was relevant to Colorado. But nobody else cared. Why? Because
now,
we suck.
Now a debt is going to be collected.
Yeah. Now, as we go into this season, people will be watching Nebraska, and they'll be watching Nebraska because it's a story. And the reason why it's a story is because they'll be looking at, when they asked this question at Big Ten Media Days, it was, oh, can we compare Nebraska to UCF in their second season where they went from shit to gold? And Scott Frost said, no, there's no comparison, but the national media would be looking at this and going, is there a story here?
Of course they will.
Right. So let me say this.
I read Bill Connolly's preview for Nebraska, and he said, you know, the year two jump is a real thing. It's probably not going to be up to the point what UCF had in year two, but a year two jump to 8 wins, a division title, and being a, you know, fun team to watch is what's probably going to happen.
All right. I agree with that.
And I will take that. Anything more than 8 wins is gravy, in my opinion.
And I just want to say, for anybody who, you know, is not necessarily – Haas has been on the 8-win boat.
Gravy train.
8-win train. I'm not going to use boat, but 8-win train since December. Honestly, he's been like 8-4. Anything beyond that is gravy. I mean, he's been beating that drum for so long that drum has a name, and that name is Iowa.
Oh, that right there is the magical eighth win.
No, that'll be number 9 or 10.
Oh my God, it's 10-2. What the hell?
Hey,
we're going 10-2.
In a perfect world, it would be the magical number 12.
Ooh, it would be perfect.
We're not there yet.
To quote Julius Campbell from Remember the Titans, I ain't perfect. I ain't going to never be. But this team is perfect because they were undefeated. So, you know.
Let me tell you. To end this podcast, I want to provide this little note. I was at the Nebraska-Iowa game in 2015 when Iowa was 11-0 and we were 5-6. It was 9-degree wind chill outside. It was miserably cold, wind whipping out of the north. But that was the angriest, most hostile Memorial Stadium crowd I've ever seen. That place was ready to explode if something good happened, you know. I can't imagine that stadium's going to be like this year on Black Friday, coming off of losing 4 in a row to Iowa. I mean, it's going to be an angry, hostile crowd. But I couldn't even imagine what it's going to be like if we were 11-0 and Iowa came rolling into Lincoln. I think it'd probably be on the order of like the 92 Nebraska-Colorado game that the olds like John remember.
Yeah, come on. He's not that old.
What?
I don't even think that Nebraska played Colorado in 1892.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado was just a state for 16 years at that point.
You know what?
The fact that you know that wrong.
That's impressive.
I'm a history education major. I take one of my exams tomorrow as a part of getting my teaching license.
Okay, so I want to have some fun.
Oh, I was going to have fun with them by asking him what John the first exam.
Now, here we go.
It'll probably be a full gamut of things, you know, full psychiatric exam. Hopefully they don't want to, you know, check for early colon cancer.
All right, so you were right when you said, you know, 16 years prior, you know, Colorado was a state. And that didn't, in fact, happen in 1876. What was the next state admitted into the Union? And what year?
I'm sorry, should I sing during the pause?
Yes.
It's a state in the western United States, Idaho.
Montana.
You know what? Here's the thing. You're both wrong. Colorado was the 38th state. North and South Dakota were actually admitted on the same day of the same year, November 2nd, 1889. Accidental trick question, I didn't mean to. Montana happened 6 days later on November 8th, and then Washington November 11th, and Idaho not until July 3rd of 1890. So.
Damn. Okay.
Oh my God, I'm sure our listeners are thrilled with this shit.
Well, if it makes you feel like... Yeah, I was gonna say if it makes you feel any better, I looked all of that up.
Okay.
And furthermore,
we done with football?
Yeah, but all we're those done. Happened before Oklahoma. Oklahoma wasn't even a state until 1907.
New Mexico and Arizona were 1912.
Yep. And then Alaska and Hawaii. It's weird to think. This is not a knock on John. John, don't take this personally. I'm serious, but it's just weird to think that two states they weren't even states when you were born. 1959.
When was Oklahoma?
Oklahoma was 1907.
Okay, and what two states weren't states when I was born?
Alaska and Hawaii in 1959.
Well, those are outliers. I was thinking about Oklahoma, you bastards.
No. I wasn't being that mean this time.
Okay, so, are we done with football talk?
I think so. We didn't do a whole lot of Colorado because we've kind of talked about them and old Mel Tucker for a couple of weeks now. The last thing that I have, unless you guys have anything else, we talked a little bit last week about refreshing summertime desserts or, you know, whatever. I just had to go. We were in the grocery store this past weekend, and my wife gives my boy the option. She's like, buddy, do you want to make cake or brownies? And he picked brownies. And he picked a brownie type that is not one that I've ever had. I was going to ask, do you guys have a favorite type of brownie? And it's odd that we're talking about this on Colorado week. For the sake of argument, we're not including pot brownies. But do you guys have like a favorite type or style of brownie? Because I have one that I grew up with that, like, if I suggest it, my or bring it up, my wife's like, that's weird. That's a Mahachko family thing. I'm not doing that.
Do you guys I like the ones with the chocolate chunks in them?
All right. I'm not opposed to those. John?
I like a chocolate brownie that's really kind of – it's not firm, but it's a little bit firm but mushy, and then you can smear it all over your body and have somebody lick it off.
I think you'd actually like the brownies that were picked because they're the frosted brownies with the
– And then you know, oh if God, somebody stuck an edible in it, whatever.
So the brownies that I grew up with – this went weird, really unexpectedly. Were you know just like a 9x13 cake pan, you know, a sheet of brownies. But what my mom would do is like take powdered sugar and just put a little powdered sugar on. Is that just exclusive to my family, or did that happen?
No, it's that's a thing.
Okay, I just didn't know. My wife looked at me like I was crazy. So
really,
yeah.
Okay, well, after you smear it on, then you.
Careful.
Okay, whatever. Right. Let's. We should move on now.
Do we have anything else?
I think that's it.
I mean, we've been going for over an hour.
I think we're done.
Uh-oh. My son's hurt.
You need to take care of your son.
No, he had a chip clip that he put on his finger because he's a moron.
Okay, well, we have to ask the question, did he poop in the potty chair?
He did tonight. And it was it's the first time I've ever been home for it. He earned himself a new poop toy. He was thrilled. He kept saying, he's like,
What is the poop toy?
Oh, he likes the show on Nick Jr. called Blaze and the Monster Machines. And so at the rate he's going, he's eventually going to have all of the little monster truck vehicles. But he got himself a new one. Holy cow, I don't even know what that is. Thanks, buddy. He's very excited to share this with me. So he earned a new little monster truck tonight.
Oh, good for him.
So, and it was.
You know what I like about. You know why I ask these questions, Greg?
Because you want to see if he's evolving as a human?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's because my children all live with me and they're 26, 23, and 20 years old. And I remember the days when I was a father and my children looked up to me as a Superman type person. Now they just look up to me as, and they go, do you have money?
Well,
I picked my car. Listen, I just want to say that, and like I said, Core Nation, we provide counseling for all of you listening. I want you to understand as young parents, when you go to the store and you look at the diapers and you go, oh, my God, these diapers are expensive. This morning, I went and got my daughter's car, and I paid $900 to get the car back from the mechanic. And here's the thing with the car. Okay. Wow.
It was a preemptive scream. He needs to hear the end of your story before he screams in horror.
Right. But she went to back out of the driveway, and her car is so old and rusty because I bought it for her. As a, you know, I'm not going to buy her a nice car. That's an incentive to get yourself a new car. But here's the thing. She went to back out of the driveway, and the left control arm off her Ford Focus broke in half and ripped out the axle and the CV joint, if you know what that is. Okay, $900 later.
I used to sell cars. That's of course, I don't know what
that's
that means.
That's a lot of diapers. So if you're dealing with young children like Greg is, trust me, it gets way more expensive as life goes on, and then they move back into your house, and then you end up an alcoholic and you're looking for rehab. And that's really expensive too.
All right.
Okay, that's all I got.
Well, let's get out of here.
That's good before I cry.
Please don't cry.
That's why I'm sitting in my bathroom.
All right. In here. Hey, son, be quiet. Be quiet for 1 minute. Let's finish this, and then we'll go back and watch cartoons. You know, at 9:30 at night. Neither he or I have to get up early in the morning. So that is it for this episode of the Five Heart Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. And remember, you can subscribe on I didn't get this information to the guys ahead of time, so I'm going to have to do it all this week. And then next week, we'll have their own portions to say. But subscribe to this podcast on pretty much any of your favorite podcast apps like Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, Spotify. You can also, as I mentioned, follow us on Twitter at the number 5 Heart Podcast. Of course, at Coronation is on Twitter. And 5 Heart Podcast on Facebook and Coronation on Facebook as well. Coronation.com, JitteryMonkey.com, SBNation.com. For myself, Greg Mahochko, for John Dam Johnston and Hoss Reuter, we remind you this week and every week that 5 Heart is all the heart you need. John?
I wanted to yell row the boat because I'm a contrary bastard, but I am still go big red, okay?
Okay.
Win the damn off season.
All right, buddy, you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
You want to say, you want to say see you later?
That is beautiful. That is.
Can you say go big red?
Future podcast host right there.
He just snuck in a go big red. Proud moment. Proud moment. All right, that's it. Goodbye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.